What's up, everyone, and welcome to the very first episode of From the Lion's Cove podcast. I'm your host, Marcelo, aka Cello, and welcome to the very first episode. I've always wanted to do a podcast. You might be asking, well, you went from sports cards, you went from basketball, and now you're doing a podcast. Well, yeah, you know, I just feel like it's my calling to do a podcast. I love talking sports. Sports has been a big part of my life. I have a lot of experiences, a lot of stories to tell, and also a lot of people for you all to meet. You know, sports has been a big part of my life since I was 4 years old, and I just have so much to talk about. Like, I just love sports. So, you know, this brings me back to when I was at the lunch table in middle school and high school talking about, you know, the games last night with, like, some of, like, my best friends, and we made some of the best memories. I'm sure some of you can even relate to that as well. So yeah, I'm just kind of going with the flow. I'm not really sure what I'm doing. I've seen some podcasts. Shout out to Club 520 podcast, with, you know, Jeff Teague and those guys. I love watching them. They are just so funny. I always look forward to it whenever they post, and it just makes my day so much better, and it always puts a smile on my face. So shout out to them, shout out to what they're doing. And obviously I don't have, you know, those NBA stories or anything like that, but I'm sure I have a lot of stories that can relate to you in your life and hopefully can give you some valuable experience. And, you know, if you're playing sports right now, or, you know, if you're looking to go into the sports world, hopefully I can give you some insight into that with the interviews I plan to have and the special guests I plan to bring on the show. Overall, I'm just looking forward to it, and yeah, it's going to be great. So I'm not too sure what I'm doing. You know, I just love talking about sports, love giving takes. These are all my opinions too. I'm not, you know, on ESPN, or I'm not one of those higher ups who really know a whole lot about sports and all the analytics behind it, but I do plan on talking about, you know, my takes and what I think could happen. So yeah, I'm very excited. So we have a packed episode for this one today. The intro episode has to start off big. So I'm very excited for it. So now let's get into topics. So obviously the purpose of this podcast is, you know, to give you all experience and just stories and just give a little bit of insight in the sports world and my experiences that I've had with sports as well as others. You know, one thing about me, I love hearing stories about, you know, what people have gone through, people's experiences working for sports teams, and just like stories with like meeting like famous athletes and all like that stuff. I mean, I'm kind of just like a normal dude, and you know, I just love hearing stuff like that. It's just so cool, and how people have worked hard and worked their way up. And, you know, even like some of like my friends, how, you know, they've achieved, you know, playing in college and just playing sports in college and, you know, being a student and an athlete and all of that stuff. So that's just super important. And yeah, it's just so cool to learn about. So that was kind of the purpose, you know, just to give you all insight on the sports world, tell some stories, tell some experiences, and also some life lessons as well. And again, shout out to Club 520. They really inspired me to do this, and all, as well as the Pat McAfee Show. Those are great podcasts and shows if you want to check that out. But a little bit about me. So I am a Saints fan, diehard Drew Brees fan. Have loved watching him ever since I was a kid. You know, I remember watching the Super Bowl back when I was little, and a lot of my friends say, "Oh yeah, like you're a bandwagon Saints fan." No, I am a diehard Saints fan. I can list a bunch of players from those old school teams, and I just love the fan base. I love the Saints people. Just great community, great team, and you know, last year was tough, but you know, it's a great organization to be a part of. A lot of my friends and family are Browns fans, so I do get some backlash sometimes, but yeah, I do love my Saints. So Hopefully, this year we can win a Super Bowl since it's in New Orleans. So I think we have a pretty good chance at that. So I'm also a Cavs fan, diehard Cavs fan, diehard Cleveland Guardians fan as well. And then I also like Ohio State football and Wichita State basketball, which so I'm kind of like all over the place. But speaking of March Madness, I fell in love with that Final Four team. A long time ago, I think it was 2013 with Ron Baker. I'm not sure if Fred VanVleet was on that team. He might have been. But Wichita State has had some great players like Landry Shamet, Cle'Anthony Early, just great players. And I grew up watching them, so I'm still a fan today. I love watching them. And yeah, so let's get right into the March Madness predictions. So obviously last night, we did have four games going on. We had 5 seed San Diego State versus the 1 seed UConn. We had Alabama 4 seed versus 1 seed North Carolina. We had Clemson and Arizona 6 versus 2 seed. And then we had 3 seed Illinois versus 2 seed Iowa State. So in my bracket, I lost my champion, UNC. They lost to Alabama 89 to 87. Great game, outstanding game. Grant Nelson, transfer from, I think it was North Dakota State or somewhere in North Dakota, transferred to Alabama. 21 points, 12 rebounds, and 5 blocks. I mean, what a game for Grant Nelson. I mean, Alabama's always had a great program, but this team is just so good. I mean, their guards are phenomenal. Their big men are great too. So, it's just so fun to watch them. But I had UNC going all the way, and that team was stacked too. Obviously, they have RJ Davis, ACC Player of the Year, Armando Bacot, just outstanding players. Cormac Ryan too. Who else do they have? They have a lot of depth in their bench, and they have the one transfer from Stanford. I think his name's Ingram, maybe Harrison Ingram. I think that's his name. I'm not sure, but phenomenal player too. So I really thought UNC could do it, but obviously they lost 89 to 87 in a great game. Yeah, a lot of my friends had Alabama. I unfortunately didn't, but hey, it was a great game. And also last year I had Arizona going all the way. And keep in mind that they lost to 15 seed Princeton last year. So, yeah, not so good. But the next game we have is UConn and San Diego State. UConn has just been blowing teams out. I know last year, I'm pretty sure they won by double digit points in every single game, including the national championship. I'm not sure if I'm right, but UConn, great team. I honestly can't see anyone beating them. I had FAU beating them in my actual bracket, and FAU lost first round to Northwestern. But I mean, great game and also great team. Cam Spencer, 18 points, 3 steals, and Ladie for San Diego State. I think he should be a first round draft pick. I mean, I'm sure people can say, "Oh, either first or he's most likely a second round pick," but I think he's a first round pick. I mean, great player. He had a great tournament too. He played phenomenal last night. 18 points, 8 rebounds, 3 steals. I mean, what a game! Great player. Obviously, he has that experience from last year too, when they made it to the national championship game. So, UConn. That UConn team, I really think, can go back to back. And also Dan Hurley, phenomenal coach as well. Next game we have Clemson, Arizona. I mean, to be honest, I didn't think Clemson would win. Props to them. I had them losing first round to New Mexico State. I'm sure a lot of people also had that as well. And yeah, unfortunately, they lost, and Clemson has just been the better team all year. I mean, they are so deserving. Hunter, 18 points, 7 rebounds, great game. And also he had a crucial and one layup towards the end to kind of give them the victory. That was awesome. That Arizona team, man, Great team. Caleb Love, phenomenal player, but there was a stat. I think he shot the ball not so well, pretty poorly, but overall great player. I mean, their big men were awesome too to watch. And also Boswell too, great player. But man, I thought Arizona could make it far, but obviously Clemson was the better team and just got out coached for sure. And then my favorite game was the Illinois Iowa State game. I mean, Terrence Shannon Jr. is a top five pick, maybe even top three. I mean, I think he is just that good of a player. I mean, he had 29 points, three steals. I mean, he is just so fun to watch. He's so explosive whenever he drives to the basket, and also he could shoot the three too. Plus, they have great guard play. Their bigs are awesome as well. I mean, Illinois is just so fun to watch. The way they move the ball in transition. Coleman Hawkins too, great player. Shout out to him. He was on. I think he's been on Illinois for a while now. So I've seen him play over the years. Phenomenal player. But I think Illinois could honestly make it to the national championship or the Final Four. I mean, I really think they can. They're a great team. Obviously, a few years ago with I forgot who they had. They had a phenomenal team. Oh, it was with Ayo. The guy who's on the Bulls. Great player. They had a great team. I thought they could go all the way, but obviously, I think they lost. But still, great team though. But yeah, Iowa State was a tough team too. I had them losing first round to the Jackrabbits of South Dakota. Obviously, I thought South Dakota would win because I always pick like 1-2 seed over 1-15 seed, or no, 15 seed over a 2 seed, just because, like, I don't know. You need some like upsets in March Madness, and I feel like that was one I thought could happen, but obviously I was wrong. All of the 1 seeds and the 2 seeds made it to the Sweet 16, so I was wrong about that. But so those were the games from last night, and I really enjoyed watching all of them, but now let's take a look at tonight's game. Well, looking ahead to the Elite Eight, we have Clemson and Alabama, which is usually a football kind of school matchup, but basketball, I think Alabama's gonna win. They have the better team overall, I think, and they're coming off hot, beating one of the best teams in the nation, so I think Alabama over Clemson. I think that's going to happen. And then obviously we have Illinois and UConn. Okay, I think I said that, but I don't know. But Illinois and UConn, great matchup. At least I think. Yeah, they're both in the East region. I think Illinois could upset UConn, but UConn's just a great team. So I'm taking Illinois in this one. I think Illinois is going to win. They have a great team. I think they have the most potential to upset UConn. So that's my predictions for the Elite Eight. In the comments below, tell me who you think is going to win. And also, let me know how your bracket's doing. My bracket's at like a 37%. Not good at all. I mean, my sister has a better bracket than me. My mom and my dad, they all have better brackets than me. But there's always next year, right? I know a lot of Browns fans say that. So sorry about that. I love you Browns fans, but had to throw a little bit of shade there. But looking at the games tonight, we have first game at 7 o'clock. These games will probably be over and you'll probably know who the winner is, when this podcast episode is posted. But the first game, 11 seed NC State Wolfpack versus the 2 seed Marquette Golden Eagles. Now, Marquette, a lot of people have them projected to win March Madness, but overall, I think the NC State Wolfpack can pull off an upset. I mean, DJ Horn, guard, and DJ Burns, they are phenomenal. I love watching them. Like the way they play is phenomenal. DJ Horn. He's been averaging almost 17 a game. Great player and tournament favorite, fan favorite, DJ Burns. Just dominant. Like, no one is going to stop him. He's honestly probably been my favorite player to watch. I love watching him. Great footwork. I mean, he is just so fun to watch. He's awesome. And his post moves are phenomenal. I mean, he's awesome, and I don't know how Marquette's going to stop him. Obviously, they have guard Tyler Kolick, I think. I think that's his name. Yeah, great player as well. Stud. Marquette's always been good, but they've always been one of those teams to lose. I remember Marcus Howard. A lot of you might remember who he was, but he was a stud. He was awesome back then. Great player. But their team just could never make it far enough with him. They also lost to John Morant, I think, in 2017. Yeah, because I had Marquette winning that one. A lot of my friends said, no, like, John Morant's the real deal. John Morant is the real deal. He is the man. So, obviously, at NC State, they beat Oakland. I think they honestly could have beaten Kentucky, too. And also Texas Tech, who was a great team as well. Marquette beat a tough Colorado team. I had Florida winning. Obviously, Colorado played a great game. And they beat Western Kentucky, who I thought almost had the edge there. And Bijan Robinson, he had Western Kentucky. So I thought that was pretty cool how his bracket was perfect for the first day. So shout out to him. Yeah, I really think NC State can do it. Obviously, Marquette's favored by, I think, 7.5. Yeah, 7.5. But I really think that NC State can do it. They have the talent. They have the team. Great coach as well. So I would love to see an NC State win. So, yeah. Going to our next game, 7:30, we have the Gonzaga Bulldogs 5-seed versus a 1-seed Purdue team. Now, Zach Edey, best player in the country by far, averaging 24.5 a game and just a stud. I mean, he really is. I know Purdue lost last year to a 16 seed as a 1 seed. Kind of embarrassing, but you know what? They are a great team all around. They are a phenomenal team. I love watching them play. I think they have potential to make it to the national championship game, but they're going to have to go through some tough teams. This Gonzaga team, I love watching them play. Transfer Nemhard from Creighton to Gonzaga. Great player, and obviously they have like a lot of new guys too. You know, I love watching them play. Great team. If you remember last year, they also had a great team too. I think they had Strother was his name, Julian Strother. He plays for the Nuggets. They had him last year. He hit a deep three to beat that UCLA team with Jaime Jaquez Jr. Great team. So Gonzaga, obviously with Mark Few as their coach, tons of experience. They really can beat this Purdue team. Obviously, a lot of teams have been double teaming Zach Edey, which obviously I would too. But if they can play a great zone defense trap, and you know, kind of force Zach Edey to toss the ball out, and hopefully their 3-point shooters can make their shots. But if not, I think Purdue is going to struggle. We've seen that a lot this year, and Gonzaga, I mean, if this is the team to pull off an upset, it is, because a lot of people had McNeese. They had them beating Gonzaga, but man, that Gonzaga team is looking really good, and they're on a hot streak right now. So I think they can win, but my take, I'm taking NC State, and I am taking Purdue. I mean, Purdue beat Utah State 106-67. That's crazy. And they beat also Grambling State. And then Gonzaga beat McNeese and Kansas. So I think this is going to go Purdue's way. Purdue is favored by 6, so I will take Purdue in that game. The next game, we have the Duke Blue Devils versus the Houston Cougars at 9:30. I mean, Houston's favored by 5. Great game. I mean, two great teams. Kyle Filipowski, great player, Tyrese Proctor, Jared McCain. That Duke team is just awesome. They're so fun to watch, and I think Jared McCain had 8 three-pointers last game. Great player. Tyrese Proctor, great player. They have a lot of experience from last year too. And this team, oh, they have a Jeremy Roach too. Great players. So I think this Duke team can pull off an upset versus Houston. Obviously, Houston, one of the best teams. A great game versus A&M. Great game. I mean, the fact that A&M though missed 15 free throws, that kind of bothers me. Just being a basketball player myself, I mean, yes, I know there's so much pressure, and also just being in the moment, is just it's so hard to make those free throws. It really is. Like, I give so much props to those players, for doing that. It's just like, man, you're under so much pressure to make those free throws. But also though, you know, you're practicing those all the time. Like, you should be able to make those. But I also understand both sides to the argument. But great game by Houston overall. They had a lot of players foul out, and you know, one of their players came in, made some clutch free throws, had some clutch blocks. It was awesome. And Jamal Shedd, I love Jamal Shedd. He is phenomenal to watch the way he plays. LJ Cryer too, great players. I love watching them play. And Jamal Shedd just has so much heart. So much heart. I love watching him play. And yeah. That's a you know that's a 50-50 kind of game, but you know, I'm taking Duke. I think Duke has a lot of potential, and I think, you know, this is the Duke team to really do it. So obviously Duke beat JMU like by 40, nearly 40. Great team to watch. Vermont too. Vermont, I thought, put up a pretty tough fight. And then obviously Houston beat A&M and Longwood. So, and A&M, that A&M team was super tough. So shout out to Houston, but unfortunately I'm taking the Duke Blue Devils in this one. I think they could do it. It's going to come down to the wire, but great game overall. Now, the Creighton Blue Jays versus the Tennessee Volunteers. 10 p.m. game. This game is going to be awesome. I mean, bring out the popcorn, bringing out everything. It's going to be awesome. I'm honestly really excited to watch this. Obviously, you have Dalton Knecht, great player. Great player. 21 points per game. But they also have Ziegler too. Great point guard. But obviously, Tennessee can be beaten. We've seen games where Dalton Knecht has not put up, you know, normal numbers that he usually does. And they end up losing to those tough teams. I know Mississippi State upset Kentucky. No, not Kentucky. Tennessee. So that was a great game as well. I loved watching that. But Creighton Blue Jays, this team is insane. Alexander, Shireman. I mean, who else do they have? Stephen Guard. Great players. I mean, this team is really good. All around, they just can shoot the ball. I love the fast pace. Trey Alexander, the way he just shoots in the paint. I love his mid-range game. I love his mid-range game. And overall, this team is just awesome. Obviously, if you watch the Oregon Blue, the Oregon Ducks and the Creighton Blue Jays game, like I think it was last week, double overtime game. I mean, great game. Great game. Dante and I think Jermaine Cuisinart, I don't know how you pronounce it. Great. Like, that was a two-man show. Like, they literally kept Oregon in that game. It was phenomenal. It was absolutely awesome. I loved watching it. And I was just on my toes the entire game. I was like, they were just hitting shots, hitting clutch, you know, clutch threes back to back, and it was awesome. It was so much fun to watch. Like, that is what March Madness is all about. And I love Creighton in this game. I love Creighton. I'm taking Creighton. I have them in my Final Four. But yeah, I don't know. I think Tennessee could win just because they're favored. However, I would love to see Creighton pull off an upset. That would be so cool. So Creighton played Oregon and Akron. in the March Madness tournament, and Tennessee played Texas and St. Peter's. So, yeah, both teams have a chance to make it to the national championship game, but give me the Creighton Blue Jays in this one. So hopefully all my picks are right. I have NC State, Purdue, Houston, and no, Duke. I took Duke. NC State, Purdue, no, Duke, and Creighton Blue Jays. So those are my picks. We'll see if those do come true. But if you shoot 50% from the field and 40% from three in March Madness or higher, you're guaranteed to win. I mean, you're guaranteed to win. If you shoot that efficient in a game, you're winning. You're winning. That's it. But obviously, teams love to shoot threes nowadays. So, yeah, we'll just see what happens. But I think Creighton can do it. Now, going on to our next topic, let's talk about the Cavs. I'm not sure how many of you all are Cavs fans, but me, I'm a diehard Cavs fan, like how I said earlier. So the Cavs last five games. I mean, first the Miami Heat, L. Minnesota Timberwolves, L. Miami Heat again, L. The Charlotte Hornets win. But then we also lost again to the Charlotte Hornets this past Wednesday. So we've lost four out of our last five games. I mean, obviously we don't have Donovan Mitchell, which obviously hurts the Cavs like big time. I mean, Donovan Mitchell, like, he is the foundation of this Cavs team. Without him, I mean, I love Garland. I love Garland, but he needs help. He needs that star power in there. Garland has the potential to be a star, in my opinion. Like, I think he is one of the best point guards in this league, easily probably top 10 in my opinion. But I mean, we need Donovan Mitchell. Donovan Mitchell is averaging 27 a game, great player, brings so much energy to this team, and also he puts up a ton of shots. And you know, we can always count on him to make those shots. So obviously our leading scorers for the past five games: Jared Allen, Garland, Evan Mobley, Jared Allen, and Jared Allen. So, I mean, like, yeah, let's just take a look at the last five games for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Hold on a second. Here we go. Versus the Miami Heat, the first game versus the Heat. Turnover battle, 11 to 7. So obviously, if you turn like a lot of the stats didn't really stick out to me a whole lot, besides the turnovers. Obviously, I've played basketball, and if you play basketball, you know how crucial turnovers are in the game of basketball. I mean, turnovers just lead to more shots, to more points, and more opportunities for those teams. And if you're giving a solid team like the Miami Heat, who have Jimmy Butler, Duncan Robinson, Jaime Jaquez, Bam Adebayo, just great players who are going to score the ball. I mean, especially Jimmy Butler. And we know how good Jimmy Butler can really be. And if you give him opportunities to score, he's going to take advantage of that every single time. And that leads to points off turnovers and, you know, allows for teams to go on runs. So obviously, we turned the ball over a lot that game, and you know, that's something we can easily fix. Just protect the ball better. That's it. Now, looking to our next game versus the Minnesota Timberwolves. I mean, we shot 24% from three. 24% from three, which is, we shot 7 for 29. 7 for 29. I mean, listen, I'm not in the NBA, but I could probably make three shots off of screens. Let's say if I take 10 shots, right? I could probably make three, but the seven others will either be air balls or I will be blocked out of bounds. 100%. 100%. But you know, when you shoot 24% from three in an NBA game, you're gonna lose. I mean, and also the Timberwolves. Let's talk about them for a second. I love the Timberwolves. They got so much hate when they traded for Rudy Gobert. They're like, oh my gosh, like the Jazz got fleeced. Oh my gosh, like the Jazz are gonna be so much better than the Timberwolves. Like Karl-Anthony Towns is not gonna mesh with Rudy Gobert. But let me tell you, that team is so good, and the fact that Anthony Edwards has just become a star in this league is awesome. I love watching him play. He has so much heart. The only thing that man wants to do is hoop. He just wants to hoop, do it, and just do his job. That's it. He just wants to be the best player on the floor. I love watching him play. He's honestly probably one of my favorite players in the NBA to watch. I mean, Donovan Mitchell is one of my favorite players, but I love Anthony Edwards. Anthony Edwards is a beast. And Timberwolves are the one seed for a reason in the West. I mean, they're a phenomenal team. I love Karl-Anthony Towns too. Shout out Cat. I know he has a YouTube channel and stuff, so that's pretty cool. But overall, I mean, this is just phenomenal. I mean, I honestly love it. But yeah, I love the Timberwolves. And when I was little, I used to watch them all the time with Ricky Rubio and all of those star guards like Kevin Garnett. They had Kevin Martin too. A lot of people don't know Kevin Martin, but Kevin Martin was a stud back then. And also, who else? Who else did they have? They had like a few solid people for the T Wolves when I was little, but obviously Ricky Rubio, KG, Kevin Martin. Obviously, those names stick out to me. So it's good to see that T Wolves are doing good, but Cavs just got to shoot better. You got to put in their star playmakers to who are going to make those threes. Obviously, you're going to have bad shooting nights, but hey, it happens. So the next game versus the Heat. The Heat shot 51% and almost 40% from three. I mean, when you're shooting that high in an NBA game, in a basketball game, no matter what, you're probably gonna win. I mean, for example, me and my sister went to the Heat Cavs game, and we were like, oh my gosh, like the Cavs could actually like win this. Like, all right, like we can put up a fight. I mean, the Heat are a great team. I love watching the Heat. But I think we can compete against those tough teams, and especially Eric Spoelstra, great coach. But I mean, they beat the Cavs by 30 when we went. Like, me and my sister were like, what is going on? Like, we're diehard Cavs fans, and we love this team, but they made every three. I think Kyle Lowry had four threes in the first quarter. It was absolutely amazing. So, if you shoot 51% and 40% from three, or no, 51 from the field, 40% from the three, it's over. I mean, you're bound to lose that game. So, and also the Heat are a great team come playoff time. I know they're kind of like a lower seed right now, but the Heat made it to the finals as an 8 seed. I mean, come on. So then we did beat the Hornets. I mean, we should beat the Hornets. They are great. They are a rebuilding team, though. They're not a great team. They're a rebuilding team. Brandon Miller, LaMelo Ball, great players. I think in a few years they'll be great. But the Cavs had multiple players scoring 10 plus. In high school, when I played, I was always told that if you have 10 players, like your starters score 10 plus each player, you're going to win the game. So if the Cavs have consistent scoring between their impact players and their starters, we will win. I mean, it's simple. You score more points, you win the game. But we also have to play good defense too. And we just shot the ball. Like, we shot well all around. And it was just awesome to see. I mean, I really think, if the Cavs are hot and they're making all their shots, we can go to the finals. Now, that might be crazy, but I really think the Cavs can go to the finals if they shoot the ball well. Consistently. Because we are very inconsistent, but we're also a great team too. When we're hot, though, when we're playing bad, we are not a good team. And then also we lost versus the Hornets. I mean, Brandon Miller just scored 31 points this past Wednesday, and we were also out rebounded. I mean, you're not gonna win when you're not winning the rebound game. And if you have a player just score 31 on you, I mean, kind of hard to stop that, kind of hard to beat that. But yeah. So, I mean, if I'm if I'm being honest, like I like 4 out of 5 games is tough. And I think Brandon Miller, if he wasn't competing against Victor and Chet, I think he would probably win Rookie of the Year, in my opinion. I think he's a great player. I love watching him play too. He's just very smooth. And a lot of people compare him to Paul George, and I'll guarantee you in a few years, Brandon Miller will be like Paul George. Maybe not to like PG level, but maybe to like, you know, not Pacers PG, but maybe like a tier level like under that. But the Cavs do play tonight at 7:30 at home versus the 76ers. So the injury report came out today. Garland, game time decision. Ty Jerome out. Donovan Mitchell, game time decision. And Dean Wade out. Dean Wade, one of the best defenders in the NBA. Great defender. I mean, he is an impact player, and we need him out there. We do need Dean Wade. Dean Wade had a 20-point comeback versus the Celtics a few, like 3 weeks ago. It was phenomenal. I love Dean Wade coming off the bench. You know, he's going to be the guy that'll get you rebounds, will get you points. Maybe not a high amount of points, maybe not like a high amount of rebounds, but he will go out there and he will do his job. But yeah, I mean, I think the keys to tonight's win are simple. Simply, we need a healthy Donovan Mitchell, which I don't know if we'll get that tonight, but in order for the Cavs to be successful over these last few games as the season wraps up, we do need a healthy Donovan Mitchell, and I think most of us can agree with that. And we have to play consistent basketball. I mean, when the Cavs are consistent, we are good. I mean, we went on like a 13-game win streak, I think, in January or like around then. So I think we could really do it. I think if we play consistent, we can really do it and win these games that we need, which will be great for the playoffs because we had a disappointing playoff run last year for the Cavs, and I was at one of the games, and just the energy from the Cavs was just not there. But I think it is this year. We have a lot of energy around our team, and you know we have a lot of team chemistry, which we need it. We need team chemistry, and we have the best team chemistry, I think, in the NBA. So I think if you play consistent, we're gonna win. This is my take, not just because he went to Wichita State, but just because how smooth this man is. Craig Porter Jr., one of my favorite players to watch in the NBA. I mean, he is so fun to watch. He makes the right play a good amount of the time. He's just so smooth. He takes care of the ball, and he is just a rookie. I mean, he literally went from playing in the Cavs summer league team. I think he was undrafted too. Then plays for us and plays good minutes. However, his minutes have been very inconsistent. He's played 4 minutes, 27 minutes, 14 minutes, and 6 minutes in a 4-game span. You can't let a player get a feel for the game if he's inconsistent with minutes. Give him a certain amount of time. Let him warm up a little bit. Let him, you know, kind of get a feel for the ball on the court. Put the ball in his hands. Let him score a little bit. Maybe even, you know, get fouled. Go to the free throw line. Make some assists. I mean, I think Craig Porter Jr. is probably one of my favorite players just to watch because of how smooth his game is. And I think he is deserving of more minutes. I mean, yes, you know, you could put Mitchell as the one and take Garland out or do like all that stuff. But I think he is a true backup point guard, and you know, he can even play with the starters too. I mean, he is just so fun to watch in the games that I've seen him play in, even in person. He is just so fun to watch. So I think he is a key, and we need him. We really do. And let Jared Allen score in the paint. Let him post up in the paint. Let him just score. He needs to score because he's been playing phenomenal. I mean, he's been our leading scorer when since Donovan Mitchell has been out. I love just watching him just dunk because he dunks with so much aggression, and you know he just wants to body you in the paint, back you down, and then score. Like, and a lot of players in this league can't stop him. I know in the playoffs last year he did get bullied. He didn't play to his true potential, but you know Jared Allen is a good player and he's a great dude. Like, Cleveland loves Jared Allen, and I think you know we as a whole need to play better defense as a team, and also we need to let him score more. I mean, you know, let him score. Work for those easy twos instead of taking those contested deep threes. I think, you know, that's really the key. And, you know, just play better defense. Just the Cavs. And in order for the Cavs to win tonight, we have to shoot well. Caris LeVert, Max Strus, Sam Merrill, just those. Darius Garland, shoot the ball well. Just shoot the ball well. Evan Mobley, just do his role, grab rebounds, score some points. Jarrett Allen, do the same thing. I think we'll win. I'm taking the Cavs tonight over the 76ers. Obviously, you guys will know who will win by the time this podcast is posted. But hey, I think this is a game that we could win. We're currently in the 3 seed right now, I think. But hey, I don't mind the 3 seed at all. So, this is my favorite right here. The next question. Favorite NFL free agency move and why? Now, as a Saints fan, I love the Chase Young signing. I love Saquon to the Eagles, Calvin Ridley to the Titans, Tony Pollard to the Titans, and Kirk Cousins to the Falcons. I think my favorite move, and this player has gotten a lot of hate over the past years, but Russell Wilson to the Steelers. I mean, I think a lot of people can agree, Russell Wilson's cringy, Russell Wilson, Broncos, let's ride, a lot of people, trashed on Russell Wilson, and that man has just stayed so positive, even through everything that was going on with the Broncos and Sean Payton. Like, yeah, I love Sean Payton. Like, obviously, he was the former coach of the Saints with Drew Brees, but is he really that good of a coach? Like, is Sean Payton that good of a coach? Or was it more so just Drew Brees? Or was it because of the team around him? I mean, don't get me wrong. He almost led us to the playoffs as it with an 8-9 team with Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill and Trevor Siemian. So I think a lot of people say, oh, okay, Sean Payton, that good of a coach. I think he is, but the way he treated Russell Wilson, in my opinion, was not the best. I mean, obviously, you know, Russ is getting old, but 2022, 16 touchdowns, 11 interceptions. You look at his 2023 stats, 26 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and his completion percentage went up, and also I think his QB rating went up too. So he had a great year. He had a phenomenal year. And the fact that they just benched him and then released him, I don't know. Just doesn't sit right with me. I mean, he's a great guy. He even is a Super Bowl champion. He's a Super Bowl champion. He won the championship back in 2013 with the Seahawks. Great team right there. So, you know, he has the potential to come out and lead the Steelers to the Super Bowl. The Steelers will be in the Super Bowl in 2025 in February. Mark my words. I agree with that. Because even though that division is tough, I mean, if I had to pick my second favorite NFL free agency move, it's Derrick Henry to the Ravens. I mean, that team is going to be unstoppable. I know I will be using the Ravens in Madden against my friends 100%. I mean, that team is going to be so good. I mean, Lamar played great. He won the MVP. And now you bring Derrick Henry, arguably the best running back in the NFL. I mean, that team is going to be awesome. The AFC North is just awesome. The Browns are good. I know it pains me to say that, but the Browns are good. They are a great team. The Steelers are going to be good. The Ravens and the Bengals with a healthy Joe Burrow. Even though T. Higgins wants out, there's those four teams are just phenomenal, and I think they can really go a long way. Someone has to win in that division, but it's going to be tough. But I love Russell Wilson to the Steelers. Derrick Henry to the Ravens, great signing as well. I'm not really sure if there's a lot of Kirk Cousins to the Falcons. I mean, the Saints division, obviously probably one of the worst in the NFL. The Panthers will not be good again, but the Buccaneers, the Falcons with Kirk Cousins and Baker Mayfield. Can we talk about Baker Mayfield? That man was on, who did he play for? He played for the Panthers, then he played for the Rams, then he signed with the Buccaneers and brought them to the playoffs, beat the Eagles, and then obviously they lost to the Lions, who were a phenomenal team. But shout out to Baker Mayfield. I mean, that man has so much heart. He just wants to win, and it's so fun watching him win. He just has so much energy and so much firepower. And shout out to Baker Mayfield. I know all my Browns fans miss him, but he is a great player to that team, and that's another reason why they signed him, because he's just a great leader. And Mike Evans loves him, Chris Godwin, and Rashad White, great running back, great team. And the Falcons with Kirk Cousins will be very good, very good. Now, Kirk Cousins, NFL fan favorite for sure. A lot of people love him within the league because of quarterback. I mean, that was a great show. I'm excited to watch the wide receiver one. That one's going to be great. But yeah, I mean, they're going to be a tough team. People talk down on Derek Carr, but people don't realize that Derek Carr played great the last 5 to 6 games of the year. He played very good, Derek Carr. And a lot of people give him hate because they said, oh, Jameis Winston should be in. Jameis Winston just likes to throw the ball down the field, which I love. But we got Derek Carr for a reason, and Derek Carr was brought in for a reason, and we have to give him more time. That was his first year in the franchise, and we accepted him with open arms. And yes, I was even a Derek Carr non-believer. I was like, I don't know about Derek Carr. Like, we could have drafted, someone in the draft, or even this year, draft Jaden Daniels. We could draft him, draft Drake May. I don't know about Caleb Williams, but I mean, I think Jaden Daniels would be awesome in New Orleans. And a lot of the Saints fans love it too. From LSU, I mean, we all love it, but I don't think that's going to happen. So we just have to put our faith in Derek Carr, us Saints fans. And my faith is in Derek Carr. I think Derek Carr can do it. The problem is we have to keep AK happy. Just keep Alvin Kamara happy. And, Chris Olave, stud. Our defense, DeMario Davis. I love DeMario Davis. Great leader. So yeah, I think the Saints can make a run, but it's gonna be a tough, it's gonna be a tough division. Now, I have a few trivia kind of games. I know a lot of my friends love the Immaculate Grid. So this is like kind of like something like that. It's kind of just called Guess That Player. So I've been given six NBA teams, and I have to try to name a player from each of those teams. Originally we were going to kind of like pick a player, and you have a few guesses to do it. But I think this is tons of fun. Just doing this. So the first sequence is the Celtics and the Lakers. So one player that comes to mind is Dennis Schroeder. I think that's how you say his last name. But Dennis Schroeder, he played for the Celtics, and he also played for the Lakers as well. If you can think of any other players who come to mind, I'm trying to think. Celtics and Lakers. And Schroeder's really the only one that really sticks out to me. I'm sure there's a ton more. But the next one, we have the Bulls and the Mavericks. Now, I can't name a player from the Bulls and the Mavericks who Wait, Derek Jones Jr. I could be wrong, but Derek Jones Jr. Possibly. Possibly. And maybe even the guy from Duke, Jabari. Jabari, oh my gosh. Jabari from Duke, possibly. Comment section, let me know if that's right. But Derek Jones Jr. And the Kings and Bucks, obviously, Cleveland legend, Matthew Dellavedova, for sure. Cavs legend. So we have, so for our trivia, we have the Celtics and Lakers, Dennis Schroeder, the Bulls and Mavs, Derek Jones Jr. Our last one, the Kings and the Bucks and Matthew Dellavedova. So that was our trivia for this episode. Honestly, this was my first episode. I hope you enjoyed. I plan on doing some interviews over these next few episodes. It's going to be tons of fun. I love talking sports. Hopefully you enjoyed, and hopefully, give me some criticism in the comments. Tell me what I should do better. Obviously this is my first episode, so I don't really know, I guess, how to really do a podcast. I'm kind of just going with the flow and, trying to make something out of it. So hopefully you enjoyed this podcast. I really thank you if you stayed here till the end. It really means a lot to me. Please follow this account, That Dude Cello. Like, comment, subscribe. Please share to friends and family, and hopefully you enjoyed. It's going to be a fun ride, and I am really excited to see where this thing goes. Obviously, I'll continue to post sports card videos during the summer, as well as some basketball videos. I have a lot of stuff planned. It's going to be tons of fun. So thank you for tuning into this episode, and thank you for listening and watching the first episode of From the Lion's Cove, featuring your host, Marcelo, aka Cello. So that'll do it. From the Lion's Cove, thank you very much. We will see you in the second episode. Peace!